Welcome to Healing for Healers with Abby Wynne
and Regina of the Land. And now a prayer.
Father Sky, Grandmother Moon, please bless this healing space.
I call on the four directions, the north, south, east and west, to hold us in the energy of love, compassion, beauty, healing, lightness and joy.
I invite in the wisdom of the ancestors, angels, ascended masters and star beings to enrich our conversation, inspire us, and use us as channels for light, love, and healing.
I call on Mother Earth, the star systems, and all the planets to open the pathways so we may present to you the best, richest information.
Have access to the highest vibration of healing energies.
And offer what is most needed for those who need it right now.
And so it is.
And so it is.
When I asked Marie Byrne to be my guest on the podcast, I didn't realize how deep we would go. Not only do we talk about Marie herself and her background, which I'll give you in a few moments, but we also talk about the pandemic and the last few years and how the choices that we made had brought up deep disappointment and fear in many of us, and how where the rest of the world seems to be going about its life as if nothing happened, there's still quite a few of us who are dealing with what came up and still have not resolved everything within. We are all a work in progress, and Marie Byrne certainly will be the first to admit to it. Marie is a qualified humanistic and integrative psychotherapist, and she founded Glossna House. She's fully accredited of the Irish Association of Humanistic and Integrative Psychotherapy. Before qualifying as a psychotherapist, Marie spent a large time in communications, in sales management, and in training. She worked for AIB, 2020 Logistics, Vodafone, Irish Broadband, and the Sitel Corporation. But now she owns and runs Glossna House. She's got a little baby. She's got pigs and cats and dogs. She works as an integrative, humanistic and transpersonal way with her clients. She honors all parts of the person emotionally, physically, mentally and spiritually. She incorporates creative expression into her work. You can find her at glossnahouse.com. I've given the link here. And just to also warn you that the internet faded in and out a little bit during our conversation, and she did drop off twice. But because of the nature of things, and because you guys are really great listeners, I know you understand that this thing happens from time to time. So bear with us in those moments where there's a waver or a wobble, or when Marie actually did drop off, I continued to talk while I waited for her to come back. And come back she did. And come back we all will. But we need to be patient with ourselves and patient with each other and understand the process of healing. So without further ado, I will introduce to you Marie, and I hope you really enjoy the chat that we had together. So as you choke on your tea, this is very informal, Marie.
Good, yeah.
Very informal. And I'm really delighted to have you here on an episode of Healing for Healers as we're all finding our voices.
Yeah.
All standing up. I think the times we're in now are unprecedented, and people who have come through the last few years stronger for what have happened, to be a voice for the voiceless, to hold space for people who want to do their healing now or people who didn't know they needed to do healing. I think you're a very strong woman. You might not feel it at times. I wanted you on the show because not only are you a healer, not only have you been doing your own healing, but you're also facilitating a fabulous space in Ireland where other healers can come and facilitate other people's healing processes. So you're running a healing center.
Thank you.
There's a lot to be said for that. There's integrity has always been there. Whenever I've connected in with you, I've always got a sense of purity and truth and showing up and being who you say you are And then holding space for other healers to come and do their work as well is massive. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I've never been on a podcast, so this is the first time.
It's an exclusive.
So thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. I know that our conversation is going to go where it goes, and that really suits me, because I suppose where I'm coming from is I don't really know what to expect from this, but what would be important to me is that I'm just myself, and I'm Marie. And I am now looking out my back window just as I'm sitting here, and one of my pigs, Gunter, is scratching his arse off the back door. And that is kind of...
That's your kind of life.
You know, and that makes me smile. And you know, and the animals bring me so much joy. But it's, you know, there he is, just scratching his bum off the fence.
That's a very natural thing for a pig to do. Maybe we'll start by you telling us a little bit about Glasna, what it is, what you're offering, and how you ended up where you are with what you've got.
I don't know if I could answer that one, but well, Glasna is, I suppose, a support center, a healing place. And I think it always was, long before I came here. About 11 or 12 years ago, I was in a bad place, a very dark place, very disillusioned, unhappy, working in the corporate world, working too much, partying too much, just deeply unhappy, kind of running from myself all the time. And I used to love looking at people's houses. I used to love nosing in people's houses. And I don't mean breaking in and showing up at their doors. I mean online. So I would love to go onto sites like, you know, like myhome.ie or daft.ie. And I'd go in and I'd look at different houses. Anyway, this particular day, I don't even remember what day it was, but I was on one of those websites and the property of the week came up. And the property of the week used to make me laugh a lot of the time because it was usually the property that doesn't sell and they're really trying to get it out there. And this property came up and it was a white house with purple doors and the address was Wolf Hill. And something happened to me in that moment, genuinely. I was sitting on my couch in my apartment in Rathfarnham in Dublin. I had my cat, Pudgy Byrne, who's now passed away. I miss her. I had Pudgy Byrne sitting on my lap, probably biting me. She was a feral cat. Yeah. And just something changed in that moment. I was really hit by something. Many moons ago, Abby, I was at a retreat, a shamanic retreat. And I did some shamanic journeying for the very first time. And I was quite afraid of going on this retreat. And anyway, I went on the retreat. And part of the retreat was somebody did a journey for you. So you did your own gig and then somebody else did a journey for you with kind of you in mind. Or they would go into this journey and ask a question. And when I was asked what question I wanted the other person to ask on their journey was, when will I go home? And even when I said it, I was like, what does that even mean? Like, anyway, that's what I said. Louise was her name, went on the journey and she came back and she said, a white house with purple doors and a wolf. I have that written down. I have that written down in a diary from many moons ago. So now fast forward a couple of years, I don't know how many years, 3 years, maybe less. And I'm sitting in my apartment and up on daft.ie as I'm having a nose at people's houses comes big white farmhouse, purple doors, and the address was Wolf Hill. And I was like, this is a bit mad. So I rang the real estate agent and I organized to go down. And I think it was the next day. It was quite shortly thereafter. I went down to view the house. I was in the gardens and the real estate agent was late. And the lady who owned the house was called Bridget. And she opened the door and she was an elderly lady. And I didn't want to go up because I didn't want to hassle her either. And she was like, come here, come here. So I went over and I went, hi, how's it going? I said, I'm here to look at the house. So she said, come on in. And we went into the kitchen and we sat down and we had a cup of tea. And it was like I was her long lost friend. That's how she was treating me. And we were chatting away for ages. And then Sinead arrived, who was the real estate person and brought me around the place officially. But when I was standing in the garden, one of the gardens, there's lots of gardens in Glasna. It's a really beautiful place. And Glasna, by the way, means kind of fertile place or green lands. So I was standing in one of the gardens and I just said, I have to get this place. I have to buy this place. And I have nowhere near what they're asking. And I have my own place in Dublin to sell. And I have my own career up in Dublin. And what the hell am I doing? And you know, Jesus Christ. But well, that's kind of me though, Abby. So anyway, I put in an offer and I had said, I went home and I rang and I put in the offer. And what I had said was, I said, look, this is what I want to do with the place. I want to make it a place for people. Also animals now, by the way, obviously, but I want to make it a place for people. Because it kind of in its history had always been a place for people. And I had said to the estate agent, look, I know how much you're asking. I can't meet that. I don't have that. And I have my own place to sell. And I was thinking, God, even listening to myself, this is not a good deal for the other person. I said, but this is what I want to do. This is how much I can come up with. And I'm genuine. And this is the crack. And there, by the way, my background is in sales management and negotiations. There was no negotiations taking place. I wasn't holding back, you know, my ace card to say, well, I'll throw in another 10 grand. I literally said, this is it. This is everything I have. This is best case scenario. So Sinead went to speak to Bridget, who was the owner. And a couple of minutes later, my phone rang. And I said, oh, it's a no. So I picked up the phone and, oh, this makes me feel emotional. I picked up the phone and the estate agent said, Bridget had a dream last night. And I said, right.
That's a normal opening from an estate agent.
Yeah. And you see, when I had met Bridget was a real character. I didn't know a whole lot about her at all, but I knew she was a character and she had this divilment in her eyes. She was in her 80s. So she had these piercing blue divilment eyes, you know, and I just really connected to her because I'm a divil as well, you know, and I was like, oh, Faith, she's enough to have some crack in her days, you know, probably still does. Anyway, she said, Bridget wanted me to tell you that she had a dream last night. I'm very impatient. And I was like, oh, is it yes or no? Is it yes or no? And she said, and in the dream, her husband came to her. Her husband was called Leo. And they had put the house for sale together. He had passed away the year before I bought the house. And she said, she had a dream last night and Leo, her husband, came to her in the dream. And Leo had said, give the little girl the house.
That's profound.
Yeah. I get choked up sometimes when I say that. I haven't told that story in a while. Because even now when people ask me about Glasna, you know, I'll tell them, oh, I moved down here in 2009. I opened the doors for the first time. It's around your birthday, by the way, in, you know, 2010. And, you know, and that's where I go with the story. There's very few people who know the backstory, you know, and how it happened. And then from that point, that was in August or something, I moved in here that December. So it was meant to be. Glasna was meant to be a place for people. And I kind of sometimes look at it as like, I'm here for now. You know, this is where I am here for now. And but it'll always be a place for people. And Bridget was an artist. I learned all this subsequently because I used to come down. And then when I did move in, she used to just turn up. She was hilarious. She used to just turn up and walk in and say, how's it going? Any chance of a bit of lunch? And I'd give her lunch. And then she'd say, have you some for me to bring home? And I was like, Jesus. So I'd give her like a lunchbox of food to bring home. And then I'd look out the kitchen window and she'd be in the driveway. And I had a battered, like in bits, red Renault. Like the passenger door didn't open. The boot, the button was gone. Like it was just ridiculous. And she drove a beautiful BMW.
My gosh.
What used to always make me laugh was when I'd look out the window when she was going, she'd be baiting her key into my crappy car. Trying to get into my car instead of her own car.
Oh, dear.
She was just quite an eccentric, unusual person that you were just kind of drawn to, you know, and she always brought it. She's since passed away, but she, you know, she always brought a smile to my face. So that's how I bought Glossna, but in terms of the setup now, it's a support and holistic centre. So
well, it feels like they were the caretakers of the land and they wanted someone to respect and honour the magic and the energy of the place.
That's actually exactly it. And it was like, who's going to look after it now? And it was important to me when I was putting in my offer on the house that I explained what I wanted to do with it.
And well, that's a vital part of it. I'm holding you back from rushing forward in your story because, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about sacred connection to land, living in right relationship, listening, and how important healing is. And some, you know, and this stuff transcends money.
Yeah, it does.
In the modern world, I'm saying this in quotations, there's not as many people get that.
Yeah.
You know, so when this kind of thing happens, someone could call it a miracle, but it's actually, it's destiny or fate or, you know, or it's showing the power of the land. The land is what brought you there.
It is what brought me here because it was when I was standing in the garden, and one of the gardens in particular is, you know, just, there was just a beautiful feeling to this place. There still is. And the people who walk through the doors here, the majority of people who walk through the doors here, they say the same thing. There's a lovely sense of acceptance. And that's how I felt. I felt like, you know, here I am and there I am now. And sure, that's grand. I didn't feel I had to perform. I could just be myself. And that's one of the things that is really important to me in my life, in any relationship I have, in my work, in the center here, is that people are encouraged to be themselves, to exactly as they are. Like, yeah, you know, that famous song, Come As You Are, but that's it, like, come as you are. And I always felt, walking around the gardens here, I just always felt peace and acceptance, because for me, the two are very closely linked. You know, I'm most at peace when I am more accepting of myself. You know, for all parts of myself, you know, the parts of myself that I am proud of, the parts of myself that I am happy with, and also the parts of myself that there are times that I'm not proud of, that I'm not happy with. But to be able to sit with yourself in self-acceptance with all the parts of you, and kind of in terms of Glossna, even Glossna is like this, I often describe it as this big umbrella, and there's all these different, you know, like an umbrella, but an umbrella that has like the Australian fly hats with the dangly corks dangling all the way around. Very visual. I actually wore one of those hats when I was in Darwin in Australia, being eaten alive by the flies. Anyway, but one of those umbrellas with all these dangly bits, and each dangly bit represents a different type of therapy or a different type of experience at Glossna, because in my journey, and my journey is ongoing, and my journey is every day, I have to focus on self-acceptance, on valuing myself. Every day, it's, you know, it's a challenge for me. But what was really important for me at Glossna was there was no particular, you know, we weren't telling you this is what you need, and for you to get well, for you to feel well, for you to, you need to do this and do that, because I'm really not into that. I wanted to give people enough experiences that they could figure out what it was for them. And for some people, Abby, that is having a cup of tea in our reception room and sitting out on the grass and laughing at the two pigs running around.
Yeah.
And good for them. And it's about being accepting of people and also respecting of people, that they know what's best for them. You might do it, but they know what's best for them. And the same way I apply that to myself, like, I know sitting down at nighttime when I am feeling overwhelmed or I am feeling hurt and eating 6 packets of King Crisps followed by loads of slices of bread and butter is not good for me. I know that is not how I should treat myself. However, there are times when I do it. So, you know, we need to respect that people do know what is right for them. And in in my very humble opinion, because I'm my own work in progress. Sometimes it feels like very hard work, let me tell you, is that to accept other people is what's most important as they are and where they are.
And Murphy, to truly be able to do that, you have to be able to accept yourself. And I can see that in you very strongly.
That's kind of, for me, that is a path I have been on. I am, do you know what? I was about to say I am 45, and I'm like, there's no way I'm 45. Long story short, I was in hospital about a year and a half ago, or maybe a little bit longer. Nothing serious, I'm grand. I was in A&E. But they put up on this chart on the wall, not on the wall, like a TV thing. I was being monitored, right? It said, Marie Byrne, female, whatever the stuff it says. And it said 45 years old. And I was like, if they got my date of birth wrong. And it was kind of annoying me, you know? And I said, what's the story with my age there? And you know what? I am 45. But because certainly for me, two or three of the past years have been a blur at times, or I feel like I've missed out on my life or lost parts of my life, that I almost feel like, you know, hold on, I'm going backwards here. I'm 42 or 43 because I haven't lived those years yet.
We demand those years back.
Give me them back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say an image that came to my mind there as you were talking, from crystals, things that I've learned over the years is that the quality of a crystal that you buy from somebody reflects the energy of that person. So I've seen pictures of crystals that have been just stunning. And when I get them, the crystal is dead inside. It's dull. And I can track that back to the person that I bought it from. And yet some crystals are just stunning and powerful and vibrant. And you track that back again to the person that you bought it from. And so if every healer that works for you is a crystal, and you are the person, the post of your umbrella, as you say, radiating outwards, the authenticity and the holding of the land, you know, that's what makes a superb healing center. Is to have that fixture in the center that radiates outwards. And if there was an agenda there, if there was difficulty there, if there was shadow there, if there was ego there, it radiates into all the other healers that show up and work there. And the clarity of you really does shine through in everything that I've seen posted on social media. I haven't been to Glasna for years. I came when you just opened it. I remember. I was one of the first people in one of your barns, and it still smelt of the paint that you had put on it. Yeah, but so I'll definitely be coming up to see you again. But I'm just delighted with how it's working out, and that the people, you know, what's really coming up for me over the last couple of years has been summarized in a frequency match.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you're seeing straight away who's not a frequency match or a resonance match, who you don't resonate with. But then the people that you do, it's like they're popping their heads up into those higher frequencies, and then we're beginning to see each other, and we're beginning to connect in and make community. And so whatever the frequency is of Glasna is pulling in, just as it pulled you in, it wanted you there. And then the people who want to be healed there are pulling in. And it's, as you say, just sitting on the grass, having a cup of tea, having a laugh, watching the pigs running around. It's a break from normality. And if we could make that our normality, then that would be, for me, the new earth that we're trying to create now, where we accept each other, we accept ourselves. And it's all beautiful. Now you've just broken up. There. So I'm assuming we're still recording and that this was an energy jump. So just wait a minute to see if you come back. You popped out. Are you there? You've come back to me.
I am here. This is part of living in the shticks, okay? That we only got the internet here, Abby. Now, bear with me on this. We only got the internet in the last 12 months here. Before then, there was no internet here. So I'm very grateful that we have the internet now, but every now and again, it reminds me that there were many years and it wasn't here. So the internet.
But I also find though, Marie, because you, as you said, before we started that, you haven't done a Zoom in many, many years. I do Zoom for my business. Most of my clients are over Zoom. And when there's an epiphany or an energy shift, it always goes out and then comes back in again. And so I see that as an indicator of maybe a release of energy, or possibly sometimes it's an interference where an aspect of a person, let's say I'm working on it, we're hitting on something that's really a hot topic for them and they don't want to go there. There can be an interference as well. So
interference, I'm connection with the interference.
It's interesting, but then an emotional epiphany can knock the airwaves out as well because they just can't handle the bandwidth. So what kind of therapies would you have in Glossna, just so we get an idea of what's going on there?
The main therapies we have at Glossna here are the support services in terms of psychotherapy. And psychotherapy is so broad, as you know yourself, that we have lots of different types of psychotherapists here, from psychoanalysis to integrative and humanistic psychotherapy, to CBT, to child play therapy, to teen therapy, to family therapy, to couples therapy. I kind of get tired of myself saying this. But I suppose, as opposed to listing everything, there's also the whole holistic side of things with the healing, the massage treatments. More than anything, I suppose for me to say what kind of services or treatments or experiences we have here, my hope is that everybody is welcome here. So whoever you are and whatever is going on for you and whatever you may need or not even know you need, I hope you find something here. I'm also a big supporter of women. I used to really like the Spice Girls when I was young. Girl power. I won't sing, don't worry. But I'm a big supporter of women. And what's really important to me as well here is from the point of view of mothers as well. I still am a mother, but having been a mother with a brand new baby, I found it really difficult to access services when I was 24 hours a day with my baby, basically. So something that I am very proud of that we do at Glossna is everything is bring your baby. So if you have a little baby and you need support in any way, whether it's psychotherapy, counseling, massages, healings, you can bring your baby with you here. And that's something that I do want to say because it's really close to my heart. It's really important to me. And you know what? I get such a buzz when I see somebody here with their baby because I'm like, I am delighted that you're able to come here, that you're able to bring your baby. Because it's tough being a new mom. And to be able to bring your baby isn't, believe it or not. it's not hugely encouraged in this country.
No, it isn't. And I know, having had four babies over the years, that when you're not with them and they're that age, it's very difficult to focus in the present moment and bring yourself in because there's always a part of you is with the baby. So if the baby's with you, there's more likely a synergy happening where you can go to those places. Yeah.
Because you're there as well. So for anybody out there who wants to bring their baby, you are welcome here and so is your baby. Glossna is about supporting people. That's what it's about. There's a great team here. There's a team of over 20 therapists and they all come with different trainings, different experiences, different areas of speciality, different areas of interest. So what's most important to me as well is that, again, it's about the person coming. In other words, we always chat to people to try and figure out what service or therapist might suit them best, but we don't always get it right, you know. So it's about saying to somebody, this is who we're going to maybe direct you towards. However, if it's not feeling right for you, if you're not feeling it, come back and we'll try somebody else because there's loads of us here, you know.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So would you be the first point of contact for anybody going?
Usually. I mean, what I have noticed is a lot more people contact us now through social media, whether it's through Facebook messages or Instagram messages or emails. And you know, that sometimes can be a person's first step. Maybe they're not in a position to speak. Maybe they're not ready to speak to you yet. Maybe they're just dipping their toe in the water. So that's usually the first port of call we get. And it's me they hear back from. Yeah. And then we always kind of encourage them to let us know when suits them. And we'll give them a call and have a little chat. And, you know, and then there's people who contact us who know exactly what they want, when they want it, and who they want it with. And we just organize that for them. So, again, it's kind of dependent on the person. But yeah, we try to help direct somebody, but certainly not tell them what they need. But if somebody wants a little bit of direction, we chat to them a bit, get a feel for where they're at and who might suit them, because there's so many different approaches in this work, as you know. I would be a very direct and in your face kind of a therapist. You know, so it's again, and there's therapists here who wouldn't be direct and in your face, and there's therapists with all different kinds of training, and then there's therapists here who work with children. You know, I don't work with children, I work with adults. There's therapists here who work with adolescents. So yeah, and then we've therapists who are in their training. So they're either in their kind of final year of training, or they're in their first year post-training. So they're working towards their accreditation. And in other words, I kind of say it's like they're in their apprenticeship, you know, so they can offer low cost to people. So we try and offer as much as we can under one roof, so that whoever you are and whatever floats your boat, we hope there's something here for you. But that comes from me a lot, as in I've been working on myself for a very long time now, and I continue to work on myself because there's just so much to work on, and it's kind of exhausting sometimes. And I know in my own journey, what I have found is not one way of working has helped me. I need I need to help myself in lots of different ways. And for example, there's days where I go to therapy. So I go and see a therapist regularly. And but I also go and see a massage therapist regularly as well. I dabble in, not personally, as I am the client and I receive craniosacral therapy, music, lying on the ground with the pig snorting on my face, rubbing my cat, water, music, visualizations, being on my
multidimensional, so you're hitting all the different aspects of you. Yeah,
it's like you know, and I'm just a big believer that there isn't one way of working that's you know, that's going to fully support you. It doesn't exist. You have to find lots of different ways to help yourself. That's my experience. I'm not talking as a therapist. I'm talking as Marie, the human being who has struggled tremendously in life, and who's battled depression, anxiety, zero self-worth. I mean, I've really battled, and you know, I'm walking the walk. There's times I just want to get into the bed and not walk the walk. But from my own just personal experience as a human being walking on this earth, I think it's really important that you don't just look at one part of yourself. So standard psychotherapy, for example, will work with you on certain levels. And also depending on how your psychotherapist has trained will determine how they work with you. You know, so it's really important to pick the right therapist. You know, it's the person behind the therapy that you want to know, not so much their list of qualifications. I mean, obviously you want to make sure they tick the boxes, they're not a charlatan, but you know, it's the person behind the therapy. And what's important as well is, you know, look at lots of different ways to support yourself, to help yourself, because we're not just our mental side or our emotional side. You know, we're all these other parts, and you have to look after all the different parts. And I do this little thing. It's kind of like a stock take I do on myself to figure out, you know, how I am, you know, or how I amn't. And I draw a line. I get a fool's cap page, sheet of paper, and I draw a line down the middle and a line across the middle. So I have four boxes. And I write physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional across the four boxes. And I look at myself in these four ways. They're all interlinked for me, obviously. And I draw like a little kind of semicircle depending on how well I'm caring. They're the words I use. How well am I caring for my mental part, for my physical part, for my spiritual part, for my emotional part? And obviously the idea being that it's a round circle, it's a wheel, and that's how I'm rolling through life. But I have never, ever had a wheel, ever. And it's kind of, it's a reminder to me of what parts of me I'm neglecting. And then when I look at that, so let's just say if I'm neglecting my spiritual part, I might say to myself, okay, so I'm doing very little to connect with myself and to care for myself spiritually. So what might I do this week that could help me with that? And for me, it might be get to the sea, get into the car and drive to the sea, because that helps me connect with myself. It might be, for me, my spirituality is very connected with nature, Abby. And you know, being alone in nature, it's not like I want a whole group of people to, you know, actually I like doing a lot of things on my own. That's just who I am. I often thought, you know, because I'd be quite outgoing and people who wouldn't really know me would see me as somebody who likes to be surrounded by people. I'm actually quite the opposite. I like to be surrounded by animals and a very small group of people. And when I'm working on myself or when I'm looking to help myself, I find that I connect better to those parts of myself when I'm on my own. You know, when I'm on, like taking off my shoes and walking on the grass, just walking on the grass, it slowly helps me get out of my head. I have battles in my head all the time. With all the things that I have absorbed over the years, all the bullshit I have taken on over the years, you know, and the self-doubt, the, you know, there's loads of therapeutic words we can use, but I tend not to use therapeutic words. I like to try and keep it as real as possible. So all these voices in my head that are berating me, that are putting me down, you know, that's a challenge I face. And what really helps me come out, I'm just looking at Gunter, my pig. He's just lying down in the grass, looking all snuggly. But what I tend to do is I tend to calm down when I'm in nature. I tend to bring myself out of my head and more into my body. I remember in college, in one of the things that we did this thing at the end called the Precious Process Awards, you know, and it was, we were taking the piss, you know, and kind of focusing in on, and I won, I dressed up as a cloud, you know, and it, my award was, you know, for the person who was most likely just to go off on the road.
To drift away somewhere.
To drift away, you know, just totally not grounded. Okay, that's kind of where it came from. So it's very important. And I connect my spirituality to being grounded. And nature does that for me. But even just back to that little wheel thing I do, which is never a wheel, by the way, you know, things are connected. So when I'm not looking after myself physically, my mental health deteriorates fast. And it's, even though I know it, so I'm very aware often of how I'm harming myself. But that's my struggle. My struggle is I have to look at myself in four different ways, minimally, too, because they're all so interlinked. So I know, for example, something I do that really helps me is I go to the gym. It also challenges my belief system, because I would have grown up in a family that wasn't athletic. We didn't do sports or GAA or any of that. We were more about working. It's all about working and making the money, you know, working and yeah. Make the money. And that deemed how successful you were or not. And so I used to have this excuse, but it was a belief, you know, I'm not a sporty person. What would I be doing in a gym? Or,
well, but even, you know, breaking out of that conditioning to create the Holistic Center must have been a huge shift.
It, well, for years, my dad thought I was a physiotherapist. Joking.
Well, the psycho part of psychotherapy is a bit scary. We're all a bit psycho.
We are a bit psycho. Well, do you know what? I wouldn't sit with a psychotherapist who wasn't, because I am just such a believer that when you sit in front of a client as a therapist, I'm a therapist and a client, by the way, but when I sit opposite a client as a therapist, I don't see myself as a therapist, actually, by the way. And that's why I struggled even with the idea of being on your podcast. Again, my self-doubt was saying, why does she want to talk to me? She's like, I'm still a work in progress here. But anyway, when I sit opposite a client, and so I will often say to a client in our first session, I said, look, you know, take the client therapist thing out of here. You know, we're two people sitting in a room. There's you and here's me. And we're here together to work together. And I don't know what that is yet. And, you know, hopefully you're going to direct me in some way as to why you're here. But we have to remember, I think, as therapists or as healers or whatever way we want to call ourselves. I like to just call myself Marie, who happens to be a therapist. But is that, you know, I have learned more being a therapist than I have being a client about myself. There is times I have sat with clients and I have come out of the session and I would say, oh my God, I really need to look at that part of myself. Because you see where that client is? They are moving into that more than I have ever moved into that. So that's a part of me I need to look at so that I can support them. Because, you know, that old saying that's very true, you can only take somebody as far as you're able to go yourself. But I also think in that same context that a client knows when they're sitting opposite somebody who knows how it feels to sit in the dark, whatever that means for you.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone through a lot of therapists in my time. And truth be told, I can be quite manipulative. So, and what I mean by that is I can let on that everything is good because that's what I was trained to do. You know, I'm very good at letting on that I'm okay and everything is okay. And when it's not. And I've gone through my fair share of therapists, but the therapists that I have stuck with are the therapists that I know they know what it feels like.
Yeah.
That understand me on that level. And it doesn't mean you have to have the exact same life experiences, but that understanding of what darkness feels like or what pain feels like. And I'm really drawn to kind of creative ways of looking at that as well, you know, because we're so trained, Abby, to, you know, if somebody says, how are you getting on? Grand, yeah, not a bother. And really you want to dig a hole in the garden and get into it, you know, because we're so trained to just smile and, you know, be on.
Yeah, but what you were saying earlier there about letting go of all the things that aren't you, being completely who you are. And I think that's why we started talking a little bit more during the pandemic, because we were both struggling with it. And very to be able to find somebody that we could say all these things to and not be in fear that you're going to be judged for it.
I think there, I'll speak for myself, there's still fear in me. There's still, by the way, I still speak my mind. I think I've made that very clear on how I feel. Because apart from anything else, I have been on a journey for decades on trusting myself, on trusting my opinion, on trusting my instincts, on trusting my gut, because I was trained to do the opposite, okay? And I'm not about to be retrained.
Yeah.
And what was really important to me was to be able to trust myself. And it took a lot of courage for me, again, I'm only speaking for myself, to remain true to myself and to trust myself and what I felt was right for me and what I felt was absolutely not right for me. The biggest struggle for me came by the judgments, the discrimination, and feeling deeply let down by people who I love. I just need a moment.
No, absolutely. It's still here. I have fear in me too.
Yeah. And that fear of, you know, the fear is there. I'm very grateful that my personality and that all the work I've done on myself over the years allows me, although I am afraid at times, I'll still say exactly what I think and I will tell you exactly how I feel. And I am afraid at times sharing with people how I feel and what I think, because I've had such bad experiences of being judged and being discriminated against. But then I also look at, I've learned so much by being discriminated against. I've learned so much about myself by being discriminated against. And yes, I will use the word discriminated against, because I feel very strongly about that. And it goes back to my beliefs of setting up Glossna. You are welcome here. Whoever you are welcome here. What I found very difficult and very sad was the same didn't apply to me outside of here.
No, I know. And you mentioned about the gym. I'm wondering, did you go back?
I did. My charger, my phone is about to die. I need to plug it in. Give me 1 second.
Okay. As I'm watching Marie run across her kitchen and plug in, because I didn't go back.
Okay.
And I haven't been back and I don't want to go back.
I understand why you don't want to go back. I really do. I'm back.
My own detriment.
But look, I know there's certain places I won't go because of how I've been treated. So I get it. I really do get it. I challenged the gym that I was in. I challenged them and they accepted my challenge. And before I, you know, it's difficult in the last times for me to talk about this because I have been so hurt. And I know many people have been so hurt. But when you're discriminated for whatever reason, and if you come from a foundation or a background of fearing rejection, of not being good enough, of struggling, putting value on yourself, and I'm speaking for myself, obviously. Well, the other person I do speak for, by the way, is myself, is that all these old wounds in me started to open back up again. All these old fears in me started to open back up again. The fear of rejection, the fear of not being good enough. And I had to tackle all these fears head on. I had no choice but to tackle these fears head on, because what was the alternative? To comply. And, you know, I believe in myself. I trust myself. I trust my instinct. I trust my gut. And nobody's going to tell me otherwise. I fought too hard to get to this place.
Absolutely.
So I've been deeply challenged, but here I am. And, you know, all these old sayings come to mind. You're not shy about stepping forward, you know, blowing your own trumpet. Absolutely. I have never been seen as shy. But while I suppose a lot of people don't appreciate sometimes why people who do stand up and say how they feel, let's not assume that they're not afraid. Let's not assume that there are consequences for them. You know, let's not assume anything about anybody.
That's the conditioning, isn't it?
It is the conditioning. It's like, oh, you're very strong in your opinions. You know where you stand. It doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It doesn't mean that you don't fear rejection. It doesn't mean that you don't feel ganged up on. We have been through very difficult times, and everybody has a story and everybody has their own experience. And many, many people have experienced huge losses in many ways. And it's really important to me that it's very clear to everybody who wants to come to Glossna that you are welcome here. You are welcome here. You will always be welcome here. And
now you have me emotional now.
Oh, well, it is emotional, isn't it? And I was even, you know, anytime I talk about my feelings around this, I feel emotional as well, because, everything was so shocking to me.
They say you and I both know from experience, when you want to heal something, you have to name it.
Yeah.
when you want to make sense of it, to process it, to release it, or to work through it, or to embody it, you have to be able to speak about it. And what's still happening, it's still happening now, is this being shut down, it's ignoring stuff, pretending things didn't happen, not being free to stand up and be heard as an equal, and it's destroying, it's soul destroying. You know, and as a spiritual healer, I can say it does destroy your soul. It absolutely does. It's interesting that you've hopped off again with the internet as we speak about this. And I haven't really spoken about this on the podcast. So I think it's something that we need to talk about. It's something that's very important to many, many people. And not everybody's had the same experience. Not everybody's had, you know, the discrimination. But that's okay too. Everybody signed up for a different experience of life. People have done different things, made different choices. I think everything that you've done is a choice. Even if you feel that you didn't have a choice, it actually was a choice. We all chose, whether we chose consciously or subconsciously. And Marie's after hopping off. So I'm hoping she's going to come back. I'm just going to keep recording here until she does. But I was saying, whether you choose consciously or subconsciously, I've heard many people recently say they felt they had no choice. But when the value of truth and the value of integrity and authenticity supersedes placating people, you know, if you cannot go against your intuition, then you know, you're choosing not to go against your intuition. And so you're choosing then to be real with yourself at all levels of reality. It must continue, it must perpetuate into the all areas of your life. Anyway, she still hasn't come back. So I'm hoping that she will. So I'm going to just pause for a moment and see what's going on.
Talking about.
So I'm just going to re-record because I just went on a bit of a soliloquy there without you, and I'm including everything in this podcast because I was just saying, and as I had said earlier, it's like when the emotional epiphany, emotional release, it does affect the internet, which is really interesting. Yeah. But what I'm noticing now is how I still have fear in me and how people are speaking more about it amongst themselves, amongst like-minded people, and talking about how they didn't have a choice about what they did. They had to speak out. They had to do this. But I disagree with that. I think we did have a choice and we chose the harder path. And we could not go against our intuition. We could not go against our better judgment. So it felt like we had no choice, but we chose to do what was right for us. And then if you were to meet somebody else who made a different choice, then as far as they're concerned, they chose what was right for them. And so when you say everybody's welcome to Glasna, that's what it is. It's about understanding that people did make choices, and some people might have regretted their choices. Some people might have not thought about what they were choosing.
Yeah, and I have a really good example. There's somebody very important to me in my life. It's a friend of mine. And her and I had completely different choices. We made completely the opposite decisions. And our friendship continued. We saw each other and we hugged each other and we spent time together all the way through the last couple of years.
But you see, for me, that shows it's a testimony to maturity of the people, because I don't mind sharing this, but only last week I visited my mother with my two youngest girls, and she hugged us and let us into her house. And it was just like old times. And that was the first time in 2 years, probably more than 2 years now. And it felt very strange, but it was nice. So you then have the choice, or I should say I have the choice. Do I hold on to it? Do I accept where things are now? Do we move on? And I think one of the things that people are really sitting with is, I can't forget how I was treated. I could forgive, I can understand, but I can't forget. And one of the New Age hippie cliched ideas of, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. You never, never forget, never forget. You can forgive, you can let go.
No. Because it's the experience that you learn from. So if you forget it, you forget what you've learned. That makes no sense to me.
Exactly.
I understand forgiveness. I don't always practice it. It's something I have to work on to practice. just being honest. But in terms of the forgetting, forgetting doesn't make sense, because forgetting makes you who you know, if you forget, you're not who you are. It's, do you remember that film, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? And you could take a pill to basically wipe out parts of your life that you didn't like. And I remember for years after watching it saying, why won't they make this pill? I need that pill. You know, I want to block out this period of my life. I want to get rid of this relationship in my life. So I remember watching the film and just being intrigued, you know. And now I'm so glad that they never created the pill. Jesus, maybe they have, but certainly that I never took it. Because it's in our experiences that we learn about who we are. I really learned about what's important to me on a much deeper level through the last couple of years.
Can I just say, though, as well about forgiveness, that forgiveness is a process, just like grieving is a process.
Yeah, of course.
And there is grief in the process of forgiveness, when there's the grief around the disappointment, the grief around, you know, I had expectations of somebody and they didn't meet those expectations. It's my fault. But then you have to say, okay, but then there's a certain level of acceptable behavior and they didn't reach that level of acceptable behavior. Is it my fault for, you know? And so when you say, okay, you're still working on forgiveness, that doesn't mean you're not doing it. As a process of forgiveness, it could take years to actually forgive and move on. And we have to give ourselves that time.
Yeah, and time is very important when it comes to forgiveness and grief, like you've said. And it's so unique as well to each person. And we can't forget about that, because everybody experiences grief differently. Everybody experiences disappointment differently. I mean, there's some commonalities and lots of things, but it all depends on where you come from in life, what your foundations are. You know, what might rock you, Abby, won't rock me, and vice versa. And
that's the beauty of it, because then we're there to pick each other up when we need help.
Yeah, and to support each other. I mean, we are no good to each other. We are no good to humanity. We are no good for our children if we are pitted against each other. It defeats any purpose. If we are pitted against each other, well, of course, that's the point of it. And it's, you know, I do not comply.
And I do not consent.
Absolutely. I do not consent. That's it. I do not consent.
Yeah.
And we all need to recognize that whatever individual experiences we have had over the last couple of years, whatever individual and collective griefs, bereavements, hardships, pain, devastation we have experienced, it's time to come together. It's time to come together and realize that we all need to work on our own healing. We all need to take responsibility for our own healing. And buying into a concept that we must be pitted against each other, or we must point fingers of blame, what does that get you? What does that do? That puts you in a place of hate. You know, nothing's ever achieved by that. Nothing, absolutely nothing. So it's about love and kindness and compassion. All through the last couple of years, there have been people who have made decisions that wouldn't be the decisions I have made. I did not alienate them. I did not stop loving them. I did not reject them. I did not keep them away from my family. Sadly, I can't say the same was given to me in return. So what we have to remember moving forward is, move forward by listening to yourself. Do the work on yourself. Listen to your own instincts. Listen to your own needs. You know, and quieten down the noise. Because you have to remember, all the money in this world is made generally off the back of fear, off the back of insecurity, and off the back of comparison. So you can choose, can't you? You can choose. Do I listen
to myself? When you link that into the miracle, though, of how you got lost and how the land came to you, through the goodness and the pureness of your heart and your intention of what you wanted to use the place for, as opposed to the money.
Yeah,
that's where we need to be heading now, where people's integrity and people's authenticity and their values are what's leading, and that the money takes a back seat.
Yeah.
And that it no longer becomes about that.
It has to be, like you said, I love the word authenticity. I love the word authentic. I love the words genuine. I just love those words. I gravitate towards those words. They make me happy, those words. Because it's always been a passion of mine to be authentic with myself, not with anyone else. To be, because if I'm authentic with myself, by default, and to be authentic with myself and to really sit with myself and own all the parts of myself. And if we could all even just take a minute to sit with yourself, put your hands on your heart and breathe and realize that it's in relationships we heal, that it's in community a lot of the time that we heal. And we can't do that if we're all pitted against each other.
I'm deliberately leaving the silence there. It's really important to slow down.
It is important to slow down and to breathe,
And to breathe.
I used to think I was breathing, but I don't even know what it was. I'm surprised I'm still alive, actually. If we were to look at my breathing for like 30 years, I think I was hyperventilating, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's my normal breath.
breathing. No, I could hold my breath for ages thinking I was great. But literally, to sometimes just sit with your hands on your heart and breathe. And I sometimes say to myself as well, how are you, Marie? How are you, Marie?
Mm.
And I give myself the space to actually answer myself. And when I hear the answer, however it is, then it's about honoring that part of me. So if I'm sad, to allow myself to be sad. If I'm livid, to allow myself express that in ways that are healthy for me. If I am feeling anxious or worried, give myself time to look at, well, what am I anxious about? What am I worried about? Is this something that I'm picking up? Is this something that I'm listening to? Or if I go back to myself and just sit with my heart and my breathing, am I really anxious? And usually if I sit with myself long enough, or I have my cat and my cat is purring, or I watch the pigs and they're running around, and it brings me back to reality, and the reality is that we all need to take responsibility for our own healing. And you know what? We all need support and we all need help. And some of us need more support, speaking for myself, or more help. But what we all certainly need to do is we need to take responsibility for being ourselves and listening to ourselves and not
and being patient with ourselves.
Yeah. Because like you said,
or pushing, because I'm getting that a lot of people want it fixed now.
Yeah.
And it's only when you sit with it that you get that trust that you're not going anywhere, that it will open to those deeper core woundings that have been triggered such as you mentioned earlier, the abandonment fear, or, you know, the fear of rejection, wanting to fit in, all of that, which, you know, if there was a book on a shelf that had all of the patterns of the typical lightworker healer, that you're going to be born with these patterns, all of those are in there. You know, you've got the physical issues, you've got the sensitivities, you know, you've got the hardness on yourself, the wanting to please everybody else, which is why it's so difficult to go against the grain, to be the salmon swimming up the stream.
Yeah.
And yet we've all found each other and we're reaching out, we're helping each other. Mm-hmm. And we're coming to the end of time. You know, what I love about you is, your, you know, besides your honesty, is your willingness to share, your openness, your open heart. And I think if our listeners were able to do that exercise that you described, you take the piece of paper and you draw the cross on it and you do, how am I physically, spiritually, even if you did it once a week. But if you did it with making the promise to yourself that you're going to sit with whatever comes up, and give yourself the week to, you know, to be with it, but not to push it, not to force it, not to pressurize yourself.
Sometimes it's just,
is there anything else? Is there anything else that you would suggest?
I was hoping I'd get suggestions. Give me them. Suggestions, please. Anything else?
On a postcard.
Yeah. Anything else I would suggest? This is what I would suggest. Look around you. Try different things. Find what works for you. Find what supports you in a healthy way. And all the ways that you harm yourself, and all the ways that you hurt yourself, and all the patterns and all the belief systems that you know are weighing you down and dragging you down, challenge them. Doesn't mean you always win, but challenge them. This is one thing that I do to help myself. I talk about all the voices in my head, of which there are many. And the loudest, most obnoxious ones are usually the meanest, and they're loud. And I have had to learn how to identify what's my voice and what are all the other voices I have absorbed and taken in over the years. And I broke it down really simply for myself. If the voice is kind, if the voice is caring, if the voice is compassionate, and if the voice is loving towards me, that's my voice. Everything else is noise. And when I'm feeling overwhelmed with all these voices in my head, I remind myself, is the voice kind? Is it compassionate? Is it loving towards me? And if it's not, it's not my voice, and I'm not listening to that anymore.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. That is wonderful. So thank you so much for giving of your time and of yourself and for what you're creating. And we're going to put all your links in with the episode. And you can go and visit. There's pictures on your website. You can have a look at what Glossin is like. And
oh, yeah, there's plenty of pictures. And there's videos for anybody who wants to see our little furry Cooney Coon pigs. They're on the Instagram as well. Gunter has his own paddling pool. So there's videos of him in his paddling pool. So there's videos and information there that people are very welcome to look at. But more than that, and outside of Glossin, parking that for aside, I'm really glad to have come on and done this. I was very nervous about doing this. I really didn't feel like I was quotation marks worthy of this kind of thing, because I was like, healer, what the hell? But I'm really glad I did it. I'm always really glad to talk to you. I admire you hugely. I admire your courage. I admire your bravery. And that's what true healers are all about, is about being honest, being brave, and being courageous. And I absolutely look up to you in all of those areas. And
we're here, we're standing on the same ground, and we're standing together holding hands in circle, and we're here for each other anytime.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely.
If there's anything in this podcast that triggered you, upset you, or stimulated you to want to know more, If you've got questions, or if you have anything at all that you'd like Regina and I to cover on the show, please write to us. The email is healingforhealerspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time.